each of the Finance Commission agencies. Today's date's August 13th, 2018. The time is 11 o'clock. We're convening this public hearing for the purpose of hearing a presentation on each of the agency's fiscal year 19 proposed budgets and for receiving comments on those budgets. This meeting was properly posted as a public meeting in the Texas Register. The hearing today is also being webcast live, and I want to also welcome our virtual audience. And I also wish to welcome Finance Commission Chair Stacy Linden, who's with us today. Thank you for being with us today, as well as all the members that might be also online. So the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, the Department of Banking, and the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner are all self-directed, semi-independent agencies as authorized by Section 16.002 of the Finance Code. This budget process is undertaken pursuant to the authority under Section 16.003 for the Finance Commission to adopt a budget for each of the agencies for fiscal year 19. And this is part of the process that we use for that budget adoption. Each of the agencies has proposed a budget for fiscal year 19, and those were posted on the respective agencies' websites on August the 1st, 2018. Each agency is going to present their budget, followed by any public comments pertaining to that agency's budget. If you would like to testify and provide comments relative to an agency's budget, please complete a witness card. Those are up here on the table, and provide it back to Ann, and so she'll be sure that we can call on you at the appropriate time. Following the hearing, the agencies will continue to receive written comments on the proposed budgets, and we will, our plan is to present those budgets with any potential modifications that we may make based upon public comments. We plan to present those to the Finance Commission, at their meeting scheduled for Friday, August the 17th, 2018. Our agenda today will be following. Will be the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending will proceed first, followed by the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, and then concluded by the Department of Banking. At this time, unless anybody has any other comments or business we need to address first, we're ready to begin the hearing on the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, and I would recognize Commissioner Caroline Jones to begin that presentation.
Thank you very much. I have a few general comments to make, and then Antonio Antoff, our Director of Finance, will go through the budget in more detail. SML's budget was developed according to our policies, and it resulted in a proposed budget that takes into account the agency's mission and our priorities. It provides for decisions. We made decisions that target specific results and outcomes that we want to see happen to further that mission and those priorities. And it includes input from the whole management team as well as from other staff as appropriate and as needed. The proposed budget for fiscal year 19 provides for 8.3% increase in revenues and 1.7% decrease of expenditures compared to the budget for the previous fiscal year. The proposed FTE count is 60, which is one less than was in the budget for fiscal year 18. That's due to a planned retirement that that position will not need a new person to come into it, and we'll explain that later as we go through the Finance Commission on Friday. At the end of fiscal year 18, we expect to have a deficit of $329,000 that will be covered by existing cash reserves. And with that, unless there are questions on those general comments, I'll turn it over to Antonia.
For the record, Antonia Antoff, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our licensing revenues are budgeted to be 9% lower than budgeted for last year. In fiscal year 2019, we are discounting our new and renewal mortgage banker and mortgage servicer registration fees between 13 and 14%. The fee for a new residential mortgage loan originator license is discounted 25% from $200 to $150, and the fee for renewal of the same license is discounted 14% from $70 to $60. Our license fees remain some of the lowest in the country. In fiscal year 19, we have budgeted for thrift revenues to waive 50% of the fourth quarter assessment. We expect growth in some of the markets that our savings banks operate, resulting in asset size growth. The collected thrift revenues will be sufficient to cover the total cost of this industry's regulation. During fiscal year 19, we have budgeted $0 penalties so that no part of our operating budget hinges on the amount of assessed and collected penalties. All of our funds are held in safekeeping trust and deposit overnight in repurchase agreements. We expect an increase in the depositor interest over prior year budget amounts based on actual amounts received during fiscal year 18. The salaries and wages category represents 67% of our total expenditure budget. Amounts budgeted for salaries and other personnel costs are 3.7% lower than budgeted for last year. Due to reducing our FTE size with one and staggered hiring of new employees throughout the year. The budget provides for merit increases and promotions for multiple employees in an effort to reward good performance, remain competitive with state and federal counterparts, and encourage staff retention. The stability of our staff benefits the industry in both retained knowledge of departmental statutes, rules, and procedures, and also of specific regulated entities and their management. The budget amount for other personnel costs is 81% more than prior year's budget because it includes amounts for retention bonuses for many of the staff as an incentive to remain with the agency. We are budgeting 12% less for travel expenditures than prior year's budget based on lower actual expenditures for fiscal year 18. The amount budgeted for professional fees and services is 29% lower than prior year's budget because it excludes the one-time $60,000 fee that we paid to the Sunset Commission for the Sunset Review that we went through during fiscal year 18. It also includes increased amounts for IT consulting fees, which will be necessary for a transition to virtual servers. The department's other operating expenditures have been budgeted 8.1% or $30,000 lower than last year. This expenditure category is very broad and includes multiple lines of operating expenditures. During fiscal year 18, we had significant outlays for an operating system upgrade for all employees and scheduled replacement of computers. This year, we have budgeted for scheduled replacement of fewer computers and other equipment and no large software purchases. The fiscal year 19 employee benefits are decreasing 1.1% in line with the 3.7% decrease in payroll costs. And these are all my prepared remarks. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you for the presentation. At this time, we're prepared to entertain any public comments that there may be relative to the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. So at this time, I'm not aware that we have anybody that desires to offer public comments at this hearing. Again, we will still continue to receive written comments on the budget. So I will proceed at this moment to begin on the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner presentation. And I've gotten word that we may have a little difficulty with the audio picking up on the webcast for others, so let's be sure our mics are close. So, okay, the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner is, first of all, my name for the record is Leslie Pettyjohn with the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. And our agency is presenting our proposed budget of $9,638,438 for fiscal year 19. This is a budget request for 91 full-time employees, which is consistent with the level of authorized employees for fiscal year 18. There's been a little bit of shift within from one area to another, but the amount remains consistent. The proposed budget amounts to an overall 2.45% increase over the budget in fiscal year 18, but it's still lower than what the approved budget was for fiscal year 17. Key budget drivers for our proposed fiscal year 19 budget continue to be our industry market adjustments, working on our staffing stability, our examination travel requirements, and our information technology and cybersecurity needs. I wanted to speak a little bit about the industry market adjustments and our assumptions that we have gone into preparing this budget. The key industries that under the purview of the OCCC have continued to show dynamic changes, including a fairly large degree of turnover within particular industries. And we've shown that the overall licensees continue to show modest overall growth, with some of our markets contracting, yet others are demonstrating stronger growth trends. So our fiscal year 19 budget is based upon an overall conservatively estimated continued growth rate of our licensed market participants of approximately 4%. That does not include the pawn shop employees or any of the individual licenses or registrations. That's on the license front. That growth rate growth rate, I believe, is consistent with the economic expansion trends and the overall economic outlook for growth of the state of Texas, as well as it's been consistent with our recent experience. We spent a significant amount of time trying to estimate, go through a process of estimating, looking at our historical trends and looking at future growth trends to try to get as close as we can and perfect our crystal ball as best we can to try to predict again where we think the markets are going and predict our amount of revenue that accompanies that market size. So the modeling that we have on this proposed budget supports a performance target of 4,200 compliance examinations, which is again consistent with our performance in fiscal year 18. This also contemplates some effects that we anticipate in the upcoming year for some extended training resources. We'll be starting with a very large class of new examiners at the end of this fiscal year, the beginning of the next one. So we'll have some extended use of training. We will have, again, a few targeted enterprise-level examinations, but some of the work that we've done on those is coming down to a smaller number. And we have also looked at a realignment of our regional areas and our work distribution and how that might impact our overall production. But we believe that we can still accomplish that same level given those changes. As we look at what effects that our proposed budget might have on our market participants, our licensed market participants, and we look at the assessment rate structure, our proposed budget continues to anticipate discounts from the maximum assessment rates in several of the areas, the licensed areas. We have gone through an analysis and evaluated these revenue projections across the different market segments in relationship to what our resource requirements are for each particular market segment. And we believe that the proposed budget fairly allocates the resources among the market segments. And we have built into this analysis some adjustments to the percentage discounts to accommodate where we were finding that resource allocations did need to adjust based upon the market participant resource requirements. So, for example, in the regulated loan license area, we are proposing a reduction in the assessment in fiscal year 19 from the assessment in fiscal year 18. We're proposing an overall 30% discount off the maximum assessment, which is a reduction from fiscal year 18. So the proposed fee would be $420 for regulated lenders for the fixed fee portion of those assessments. The pawn shop licenses, we proposed a 16% off the maximum assessment, 16% discount off the maximum assessment. That is consistent with the same amount that was collected in fiscal year 18. For the motor vehicle sales finance in the license location, there is an increase from the prior year's amount but not from fiscal year 17. So we anticipate a discount rate of 16.3% for licensed locations and 19% for registered offices for a fee amount of $385 proposed for fiscal year 19, which is a slight increase again from fiscal year 18, but it's less than the amount from fiscal year 17. But again, we were looking at that analysis trying to be sure that we had appropriate relationships between the market segments. All other groups will remain consistent as they have for some period of time. I want to move on a little bit to some of the expenditure components in the budget and our staffing stability, which is one of our key drivers in the budget. And this proposed budget will provide the resources necessary to implement a staffing plan that enables us to meet our expected workload and performance targets and attempts to optimize our examination coverage at a level that focuses on improving compliance through our efficiencies and continuing to target risk profiling to get those maximum efficiencies. The salaries and the associated personnel benefits in our budget proposal are 81% of the total budget, and then our expected travel comprises an additional 9%. So 90% of the budget is salaries, benefits, and travel. The proposed salary budget will fund our examiner career ladders with 9 planned promotions, and then there are additional other competitive actions that are programmed into the budget that will help us with retention and increasing the tenure. We have a fairly large segment of our examiners that are in our target 3 to 5 year range that we're looking to get over the 5 year particular threshold that we find to be an important threshold in the development of financial examiners, and so I think this budget will help us in achieving that objective. And then for the additional detail on the rest of the expenditures of the budget, I'd like to turn that over to Christina Cuellar-Hope for her discussion.
Thank you, Commissioner. My name is Christina Cuellar-Hope with the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Information technology. Our proposed budget funding includes 86% for maintenance, operation, and communications. Specifically, we have maintenance for the cloud-based regulatory platform, ALEX, and also funding for one project to refine annual reporting and additional enhancements to information technology security, including 14% of the proposed budget is for cybersecurity being allocated to a new contract for managed security services through DIR.
Can I interject just one thing? It's 14% of the IT expenditures.
Thank you. Further key items in the expenditure budget include travel expenditures for non-out-of-state examination travel, which are estimated to be in approximately $860,000. This estimate is an 8% increase over the budget from fiscal year 18. This increase is necessary in order to make a fairly significant investment in training the large class of new examiners, as well as establishing an extension of our East Texas region to include West Texas with two FTEs to be based in El Paso. We expect to gain efficiencies on future years after the investment in travel and training costs in fiscal year 19. Professional fees are estimated at $243,000, which is a decrease of 39% over the fiscal year 18 budget amount, as there were two items budgeted for the last cycle that are not continued. One was the cost for the sunset review of $55,000, and the other was an imaging project that was deferred. Other operating expenses was budgeted at approximately $538,000, which is about a 5.5% increase over the actual fiscal year 18 expenditures. Larger items within this classification include online payment fees and IT maintenance costs, both have which been increasing. Benefits are estimated at approximately $2 million, which is an increase of 2.9% over the budgeted amount for fiscal year 18. The projected amount is forecasted based on an estimated personnel cost and benefit factor of 30%. Anticipated health insurance premium increase of 0.5% for fiscal year 19, and the retiree insurance cost of $240,000. Capital expenditures consist primarily of computers and information technology hardware that are part of the agency regular replacement schedule. The budget proposes a deficit of revenues over expenditures deliberately to cover some projected spending from reserve funds. The agency anticipates 6.2 months of liquidity for operating expenses at the end of fiscal year 18. Please note that at the end of third quarter fiscal year 18, the liquidity level for operating expenses was 5.3 months.
Okay, and I believe that concludes the remarks on the proposed budget for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. We're happy to entertain any questions or any public comments if anyone would like to make any public comments on the budget for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. I'll wait a short period of time to see if that anyone would like to step forward. And to make sure that our technical requirements are okay back there. Okay, at this time, it does not appear we have public comments, and again, we'll still be taking written comments on those budgets. And so at this time, I think we're ready to begin the discussion on the Department of Banking's budget proposal, and I would like to recognize Deputy Commissioner Stephanie Newberg to begin that presentation.
Thank you. For the Department of Banking, our budgeting process started probably 4 or 5 months ago. We required each division and each regional director to create their budget and then worked with them over the last several months to fine-tune them. Each of our cost centers or industries that we regulate, we had to make sure that they each covered all their related cost. We also looked at historical, current, and forecasted information to make sure the budget made sense and make sure that it was aligned with our strategic planning initiatives and our agency priorities for 2019, including the new performance measures that we have set for the agency. This budget is based on the department conducting 886 examinations, processing approximately 272 applications, notices, and filings, and resolving 400 complaints. Our 2019 budget has revenues projected at $28.9 million. This number does not include $2.6 million in bank assessments and $132,000 in special audits assessments that will not be necessary. These amounts are not included because we hope or plan to keep our cash balance at the same amount that it ends 2018 and then again in 2019. So our projected revenues of $28.9 million cover our expenditures of $28.9 million. Assessments are approximately 88% of our revenues. Our revenue projections included some of these assumptions. No real growth in the bank assets during 2019, a normal level of problem banks. It included the inflation assessment factor of 1.91%, which was approximately $426,000. Corporate activity actually shows an increase, a double-digit increase in its revenue due to increased filings. Trust income remaining relatively constant. Foreign bank agency assessments remaining the same. Limited growth in the special audits area, and increased earnings in the funds held at the Texas Treasury, as Savings and Mortgage Lending already talked about. One of the things that we have to do under Texas Administrative Code 3.36E is we have to make a determination that our current assessments for the bank and trust area can cover our budget request. As I previously said, we are going to forgive at least $2.6 million in bank assessments, so we can make that determination that yes, our budget can be covered by the current assessment stream. Our 2019 budget expenditures are slightly more than what we asked for in 2018, about 70.71%, I think. Salaries is the major category and accounts for the most dollars in our budget increase. Salaries are estimated at $18.8 million and employee benefits at $5.7 million. These two items alone account for 85% of our budget request. Our staffing request remains at 190, and the increase in our budget is made up of several components. First, we have a new staffing strategy for fiscal 2019. In 2018 and in 2017, we had approximately 10 to 15 vacancies on any given month. We were hoping and trying to hire examiners that were more tenured or commissioned and had experience, and our results of that, we've had just limited success. For the 2019 budget, we have included 9 FE1 new hires and 6 experienced specialists. Six of the new FE1s were actually begin work today, so we're very excited about that, and one of the specialty examiners. This item actually is a decrease in the salary budget because the FE1s is such a lower salary than the experienced examiners that we had in the budget in 2018 and 2017. That amount is offset, though. We have 50 career ladder promotions in our FE1 through FE6 series. In our administrative area, we have 19 promotions, 5 equity adjustments, as well as a 2% across the board cost of living adjustment. We also have, as we have done for the last probably 10 years, as we compared our salaries for our examiners to the FDIC, hoping to stay within 95% of their salaries. Their overall increase, or average increase for 2018 was 3.4%. In our FE1 through FE6 series, We are hoping to remove salaries to stay within 95% of that of their salaries, and for our FE7s and above, 75% to 85%. Our budget for these examiners and related directors is approximately 2% to 4%. Our starting salary for a new entry-level examiner will move to $55,650. We believe these increases are necessary to retain our staff, remain competitive, hopefully postpone some retirements so we can train these six new individuals that are coming on, and that as people come to the department, that they see that this can be a lifelong career choice. Today, 63% of our examiners are commissioned, and we keep moving closer to our goal of 67% of our examiners being commissioned. Our other salary line item increases over the 18 budget and over the 18 actual. We have 8 lump sum retirements that we think are going to happen. We have indication that these people are going to retire in 2019. Travel is our second largest item, and it's estimated at $2.2 million and is 8% of our expenditures. For travel, we actually go in and each division and each regional director looks at the projected examination travel and the training, and we estimate each event to come up with our travel dollars. We also include in our budget that our vacant positions will be filled. You will see a decrease in our travel expenditures this year due to off-site examination procedures. We saw this come to fruition in 18, but in 19 we think we'll get a whole year's worth of more off-site procedures being performed. And then in the out-of-state travel category, it's off-site procedures, and it's also just the cycle of out-of-state exams. An exam in New York City is much more expensive than an exam in Oklahoma City, so it just depends on what exams are due. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sammy Chadley to go over the other expenditure items.
Good morning. For the record, Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. A couple of items. Going to go over on the expenditure side. Under professional services, we have an increase of $78,000, and those are both ins and outs, additions and deletions. On the deletion side, in 2018 had the sunset fee and the conference speakers, and on the addition side, we have several items. We basically have the investigator fees reclassed from other operating to professional services. I'm sorry, to from other operating. Customized financial examiner cybersecurity training, DIR contractor to evaluate IT area, and the outsourcing of financial literacy efforts. On the consumable supplies, we had a decrease in 2019 as compared to 2018. Mainly in 2018, we had 83 new computers that were replaced as compared to 6 in this year's budget. We do have a 4-year replacement cycle for computers. Also in 2018, we had 2 new cubes at headquarters that come out of the consumables pot. Under telephone, that has the largest increase of approximately 24%, due largely to required increased data speed and bandwidth at headquarters and regional offices. This bandwidth increase will help with the department's data exchange, DEX uploads, upload speeds, and also would help with the offsite procedures. Also, we have a new state phone system that was installed at the headquarters and at the 4 regional offices. Now those phones have a monthly fee. And finally, we under that expenditure, there's a telecom system for a session that we're paying for. Under other operating, that category appears to decrease, but the 2018 budget had the $80,000 for the investigator that I mentioned under professional services. That had been moved to professional services. Without this item, the category increases approximately $37,000 or 11%. This increase is due to software maintenance for Office 365 that was purchased in 2018. In 2018, we didn't pay for it, but we're paying for it in 2019, about $29,000. Also, we have additions for Trooper that is present for Finance Commission meetings. That was basically a 5% increase in maintenance estimate. And we also have CSBS accreditation fee and CSBS dues. The further actual estimate for 2018 did not include Michigan examiners that are again budgeted in 2019, about $17,000. Under the claims category, that's basically the State Office of Risk Management assessment for workers' comp. There are no known unemployment claims that are due for 2019, as we had for 2018. The capital budget for 2019 increases includes servers at the 4 regional offices and network storage. In 2018, we had fewer servers and less network storage capacity. And the below the line items are state mandated expenditures. Under the benefits, we used 28.7% of salaries in this budget for this proposed budget. Then there's an additional 1.5% mandated by the legislature for payroll health care contribution. Statewide cost allocation plans, YCAP, that's basically a bill that we received from the comptroller for use of state services. And finally, under the cash position, this year we forgave $3.8 million in assessments as we tried to manage our cash balance growth to a minimum amount for 2018 over 2017. Our anticipated unreserved cash balance at fiscal year 2018 is $9 million, $3.8 million of the 2019 budget. The 2019 budget keeps unreserved cash at this level. And I'll turn it back to Stephanie.
Thank you, Sammy. With this budget proposal, we think we can carry out our mission, meet our performance standards, maintain a competitive salary structure, and meet our standard of service. As Leslie said, our draft budget was published on the website on August 1st, and no comments have been received to date. And I just want to end by saying thank you to Krishna Jones, who's in the audience, and Sammy Chadley for all the work they've done over the last several months on our budget proposal.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. At this time, we have an opportunity to receive any public comments on the proposed budget for the Texas Department of Banking.
That's a good question.
Of course.
Without testifying, or I can testify, you guys are bored. Would you, and I may be jumping ahead, would one of you guys describe what you expect for audit committee review, finance commission review of the budget, and how that's going to play out?
I will happily describe that, and I was going to do that in my closing comments. No problem. As we wait for the onslaught of public comments, I'll go on here. So with respect to the budget in particular, budgetary oversight was the pinnacle achievement of SDSI that we achieved in 2009, and that allowed our agencies to do some very important tasks. React to economic and regulatory challenges in real time, attract qualified personnel at competitive pay levels, retain quality staff and experienced examiners in minimizing our turnover, avoid supplying seasoned, well-trained employees and examiners to our federal counterparts, share resources for efficiency and cost savings, and be able to focus on emergent critical issues such as cybersecurity and fraud. Being self-leveling, all of our revenue is derived from licensed and regulatory entities, so no funds are appropriated from the General Revenue Fund. And as you've heard today, basically the majority of all three agencies' budgets are salaries that account for that. Savings are passed back through to the entities via assessment waiver or fee reduction. With respect to the Finance Commission, as the oversight and policymaking body, we will review, evaluate, and approve the annual operating budgets to ensure prudent fiscal behavior while they are executing their statutory missions. Our annual budget cycle process is comprised of the agency process that you've heard described already to prepare proposed budgets, following the August calendar year, of course, then obtaining public input through Public Budget Day and other opportunities that the public has to comment, then obtaining stakeholder input and collaboration in this process for their commentary on the budget, for the ultimate review and approval to occur at the August meeting with the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission. We still report our fiscal activity as similarly as we did before we had SDSI status to a variety of governmental bodies. And so we are reporting our financial information to the Office of the Governor, House Appropriations and Senate Finance Committees, and the Legislative Budget Board. In addition to that, to maintain what we believe is a heightened responsibility of accountability and transparency, we conduct both internal and external auditing, of which our current auditors, Garza and Gonzalez, have performed a variety of audits, and our external audits are done by multiple state agencies, probably including the most recent one being the 2017 SAO audit that would exhibit good performance on behalf of all of the agencies. And couldn't possibly let a meeting like today go by without some mention of Sunset. I will keep my comments very brief. Everyone in the room is aware that the Commission and its three agencies are in the midst of legislative process. And I would like to mention three sentences from the April 2018 executive summary of the Sunset staff report that highlights all three agencies' good performance. And if I might, the first one is, since their last Sunset review 17 years ago, the three finance agencies have weathered the storms of the financial crisis well and maintained transparent, accountable practices, even with even with recent decreased legislative oversight. So it's good to know that they noted that. That was the first sentence of the executive summary. In addition, Sunset staff found the agencies had adapted well to the increased flexibility granted by the legislature in removing them from the appropriation process through self-directed semi-independent status. And then lastly, their notice of the agencies that take their stewardship of state funds seriously. And I think all three of those things speak very well to our agencies. Lastly, I think what I would say is good fiscal health is not glamorous work. It is the product of diligent work, constant focus, strong oversight, and I want to express my personal appreciation and gratitude to all of those that are involved in the budget process. With respect to the Finance Commission, that would be the Audit Committee, which is ably led by Molly Curl, and then at Department of Banking, led by Charles Cooper, Stephanie Newberg, thank you, Sammy Chadley, and anybody else who was involved in the budget. At Savings and Mortgage Lending, led by Caroline Jones, and thank you, Antonia Antoff. And lastly, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, led by Leslie Pettijohn, and with assistance from Christine Quaylor-Hoke, which I'm still getting used to the Hoke part.
So are we.
So, thank you. Did that answer your question?
It did. May I ask a follow-up?
Absolutely.
Chair, would it be appropriate to make a couple of comments at the Audit Committee, or is this a better spot?
It is up to you. You can make them here, you can make them in both places, or you, whatever.
I have to come up with something original.
It probably would be better there because you would have the benefit of the full commission, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So Audit Committee or Finance Committee or either? Or
yeah, Audit Committee.
Audit Committee, right.
Yes.
We'll hear the detailed presentations again from the agencies.
Can I do that, too? That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair London. Anything further?
No.
Okay. At this time, I believe we've completed our business, and I want to thank each of you for attending our public hearing, whether in person or virtually. We appreciate your participation. The input of our interested stakeholders is vital to our process. And again, we continue to welcome your comments and feedback on our budgets as we prepare for the Finance Commission presentation to the Audit Committee, which begins its meeting on Thursday, and the budget presentation to the Finance Commission on Friday. And this will, thank you. Our meeting is adjourned. This concludes our agenda, and the time is 11:38.